You're listening to the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18 is where Pastor Sandy will begin today on this edition of Sandy Adams Radio.
Verse 24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. If you want friends, then you have to take the initiative and be friendly. You have to go out of your way to make friends, to be friendly to others. There's truth in the little jingle. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend, and man, friends were everywhere. Rather than complain that nobody from the church invites you over to their house, why don't you take the initiative and extend an invitation? Invite friendship and people will reciprocate. You know there is a vitamin you can take that creates friends. You know this. It's B1. Notice the rest of the verse. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. That friend is Jesus. He is the friend who never lets you down. And our tie to Jesus is thicker than friendship and family. It's spirit. That's the thickest tie. Jesus tells us in John 15, verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends. Isn't that amazing? That's coming from our Creator and our Sustainer and our Master and our Savior and our Lord. But of all those titles, He chooses for us to call Him our friend. He's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Chapter 19. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Dignity is more valuable than dollars. Also, it is not good for a soul to be without knowledge. And he sins who hastens with his feet. Hey, get in a hurry. Act before you think. Get impulsive, and it will probably lead you to some sin. You know that old motto, if it feels good, do it. Man, that leads to disaster. Don't be impulsive. Think through before you act. Verse 3, the foolishness of a man twists his way, in his heart frets against the Lord. Notice this, sin complicates. Man, I've done so much counseling over the years, and I've come to one conclusion. Sin complicates. Oh, what tangled webs we weave. You know, years ago, I bought a 100-foot extension cord. One of the worst mistakes I've ever made. Because now, every time I use that thing, it takes me 30 minutes to get it untangled first. It gets twisted. I mean, I do my best to keep that thing straightened out, but it gets twisted. Foolishness, lack of wisdom, sin causes a twisted and tangled life. And here's the irony. People spend 20, 30 years sinning, living life their own way, disobeying God, complicating their lives, and then they come to God and they expect Him to get it all untwisted in 5 minutes at the altar. Hey, God will work miracles, but often He's going to take His time to straighten out your life. You need to be patient and walk with Him. Wealth makes many friends. Yeah, win the lotto. See how many people flock around you and want your phone number and want to take you out for dinner, etc. But the poor is separated from his friend. A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Many entreat the favor of the nobility, and every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Oh my, as long as you're doing favors, as long as you're doling out gifts, you'll have a lot of so-called friends. It's when you need a favor. That's when you find out who your true friends are. Verse 7, all the brothers of the poor hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? Everyone turns his back on the poor man. He may pursue them with words, yet they abandon him. God forbid that this ever happen in the church. You know, James chapter 2 warns the church about our attitude toward the poor. Show no partiality, James tells us. A person's economic status should never determine how we treat him. See, a well-dressed man walks into the church. He's wearing expensive clothes. That man could actually be a spiritual pauper, whereas a homeless day laborer could walk into the church. He's a child of God. He's royalty in the kingdom of God. He's clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We need to look past people's wallet to their heart. He who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. Verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish. You remember the dogs that licked up Ahab's blood in the same spot where false witnesses lied about Naboth. You remember the story. They stole the vineyard. They told lies. They perjured themselves. Well, here we're told that the false witness will not go unpunished. He who perjures himself and covers up the truth, God knows, God will punish such a person. Verse 10, luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princes. A fool with luxury and power will lose it and abuse it. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. You know, a mark of God's glory on a person's life is a forgiving spirit. That's what he's saying. You know, too many people, they have a hard heart, and they have soft skin. You notice that? Little things bug them, and yet big things, they're just calloused. On the contrast, we should have tough skin and a soft heart. Remember, a forgiving spirit, a soft heart, is God's glory on a person's life. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. The king's wrath is ferocious, but his favor is refreshing. Verse 13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Ever had a dripping faucet at your house? It's not a pleasant sound, is it? That drip, 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 drip. It drives you nuts, man. It's a serious irritation. Hey, this is how wartime armies interrogate their prisoners. This is how they pry from people national secrets. A contentious wife is like waterboard torture. That's what he's saying. Ladies, I want to say this one time. For your sake, I hope you take heed. All men, big men, little men, short men, tall men, skinny men, fat men, black men, white men, all men, even your man, hates to be nagged. He hates it. Your nagging and pestering and pushing may on occasion achieve some temporary results, but in the long run, ladies, trust me, it's doing far more harm than good. A wife drips because she wants attention, but most husbands respond to a dripping faucet in one of two ways. They either shut it out or they turn it off. And that's not what you want. That's not the reaction that you desire from your husband. You see, a wise wife learns how to effectively speak to her husband. She learns his language, what makes him tick, how and when to communicate. Better yet, she learns how to influence her husband with pleasant demeanor. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 encourages wives to act in ways toward their husbands so that even if some husbands do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wife. Pleasant wife will accomplish far more, will encourage her husband, whereas a nagging wife or a dripping wife, oh my, that's torture. Verse 14, houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Prudent means wise. I've heard it said, whether a fellow winds up with a nest egg or a goose egg depends a lot on the kind of chick that he married. Verse 15, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. He who keeps the commandment keeps his soul, but he who is careless of his ways will die. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Notice this, a donation to the poor is actually a loan to the Lord, and God pays tremendous interest. Verse 18, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. discipline your kids while they are young. It's been noted that by the time a child is 5 years old, 50% of their character formation has already been completed. That's why it's been said the best time to tackle a minor problem is before he grows up. Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley, founders of the Methodist Church, said the following about child rearing. She said, "When my children turned a year old, they were taught to fear the rod and to cry softly." I always remember when Nick was 3 years old, I had just put him to bed and I had settled down to watch the football game. And all of a sudden I look up, here he comes, just sort of sashaying through the living room. I looked at him and I said, "Son, what in the world are you doing out of bed?" He looks up at me with this real defiant look on his face and he says, "Dad, mind your own business." Oh my. Trust me, I proceeded to show that kid exactly what my business was. You see, a child learns self-discipline by being disciplined by their parents. Boxer Mike Tyson grew up without loving parents. He had zero discipline as a child. And why does it surprise us that he has zero self-discipline now? As a result, he's grown up an angry young man. Trust me, your kids, they'll be angry if you don't discipline. Your discipline speaks love into their lives. It's been said when parents don't mind that their children don't mind, then the children won't mind. Chasing your child while there is hope. Verse 19, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. This is why bailing out a person can be a curse to that person rather than a blessing. You know, if God is using difficult circumstances to discipline that person, and yet we help them escape from those circumstances, then they fail to learn the lesson God is teaching them. And they'll have to go through the same trial all over again. Verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. My, we all have our dreams, don't we? There are many plans in a man's heart. We all have our dreams, stuff that we'd like to do one day. I mean, what's on your bucket list? You know, the things you'd like to do before you kick the bucket. Man has his plans, but what matters is God's counsel. You know, in the end, I may die and I may leave behind many unmet dreams. The one thing I hope for my life is that I was consistent and sure to do God's will. That's what matters, not pursuing my dreams. My dream is heaven. What matters in this life is doing the will of God. Verse 22, what is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. That's a funny picture. Here's a man who's hungry, and yet he's too lazy to bring his hand up to his mouth and eat. But you know what? The same phenomena occur spiritually. How many people do you know their soul is famished, they're starving spiritually, while there is an unused Bible going neglected, just sitting there on the shelf. They won't even bring the food to their mouth. Strike a scoffer, and the simple will become wary. In other words, a little smart punishment smartens some people up. Rebuke one who has understanding, and he will discern knowledge. He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Verse 27, cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A disreputable witness scorns justice, and the mouth of the wicked devours iniquity. Chapter 19 closes, judgments are prepared for scoffers and beatings for the backs of fools. Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Shakespeare once wrote, "O thou invisible spirit of wine, if thou hast no name to be known by, let us call thee devil." At the outset of Prohibition, evangelist Billy Sunday commented, "Goodbye, booze. You were God's worst enemy. You were hell's best friend. I'll never forget the fellow that I led to Jesus on his deathbed. He was dying from cirrhosis of the liver. He had drunk himself to death. This poor guy was nothing but skin and bones, and he was in terrible agony. And at his funeral, never been to one like it, at his funeral, only three people showed up. His mother, his sister, and then the sister's daughter, who she made to come. Now that's a pretty sad commentary on a person's life. Now, this guy's in heaven today because the grace of Jesus Christ is sufficient, but his life on earth was empty and painful for himself and for the people around him, and it was all because of alcohol. And you know, as a pastor, I've seen story after story after story repeated time after time after time. Guys, alcohol is a destroyer. It ruins lives. It taints careers. It breaks up families. It provides poor examples to children. And as I teach my kids, you'll never become an alcoholic if you don't take the first drink. Beware of strong drink. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. Oh, yeah, but, you know, the New Testament says take a little wine for your stomach's sake. I know all that. I know the Bible. Oh, I know you're free in Christ. I know if you want to take a glass of wine or whatever for your dinner or come in from mowing the grass and drink a beer or something, that's okay. I understand that. But how often do you stop at one glass of wine? How often do you stop at one beer? Or how often do you keep going? And you drink more and you drink more. Hey, when you deal with wine, when you deal with strong drink, you deal with a power, with a force that has destroyed many people. Many men, many women have been laid low by alcohol. You think you can handle it? Well, you know, hey, I don't even want to risk it. I don't even want to risk it. I don't even want to exercise that liberty. I don't want to run the risk. Alcohol is a terrible, terrible destroyer. Pastor James does a lot of marriage counseling. You agree with me? How many problems people deal with because of alcohol? How many kids are abused? How many wives have been abused? How many marriages are on the rocks? How many divorces have occurred all because of alcohol? Guys, I've been telling you, it's from the bottom of my heart. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The wrath of a king is like the roaring of a lion. Whoever provokes him to anger sins against his own life. It is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. Verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. He doesn't work because it's too cold, but then when it warms up, it's too late. I mean, the littlest thing causes him not to go to work, like Chipper Jones. Can't believe that guy. He's always hurt. Yesterday, he wasn't in the lineup because he strained an oblique muscle. What's an oblique muscle? I had no idea what an oblique muscle. Ty Cobb never set out a game because of an oblique muscle. Shoeless Joe Jackson never set out of a game because of an oblique muscle. Chipper Jones sits out the game because of an oblique muscle. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You know, when it comes to teenagers, I've heard it put, listen in a way that makes them want to talk and talk in a way that makes them want to listen. You know, the point is to be sensitive and to be intentional in your communication. You know, the human psyche is like a deep well, and it takes a lot of love and a lot of patience to draw out the feelings and the assumptions and the desires and the thoughts. My wife is so good at this, especially with our teenagers. You know, I make the mistake, they walk in the door and I bombard them with 1,000 questions. Where you been? What's been going on? Who you been with? And they don't want to talk to me. They don't want to answer a barrage of questions. But Kathy just kind of gently primes the pump and sits down with them. And before long, they're pouring out their day, telling her everything that happened. And I'm wondering, how did she do that? It's because there's some skill. It takes understanding to draw out from the heart of man the things that are going there. The counsel of the heart of man is like deep water. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? People love to sing each other's praise, toot each other's horn, but who among us is faithful enough to speak the truth? That's what he's saying. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. A king who sits on the throne of judgment scatters all evil with his eyes. In other words, he keeps close watch on things. He deals quickly with sin when he sees it. Verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? I'll answer that question. No one. Only in Christ and through Christ can we be clean, can we be pure from sin. Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike an abomination to the Lord. Now, he's talked about this before. In short, God hates corrupt business practices. Verse 11, even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right. You know, if you want to know your child, take time to study their behavior. A child's conduct shines a light on the child's identity and their character. You know, you want to know what's going on inside your kid, watch what they do. Study their behavior, and you can glean insights into their heart. He says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord has made them both. God gave us the capacity to hear and to see. So let's not be naive. Let's look, let's listen, let's be alert, let's pay attention to the people and the things that are going on around us. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will be satisfied with bread. In other words, get out of bed and go to work. Get out of bed and go to work. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. If you refuse to work, don't come to the church asking for money or asking for food. If we find out you're not working, we don't want to give you any food. If you don't work, you don't eat. Verse 14, it is good for nothing, cries the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasts. Now here's the guy, he goes down to the car lot, he picks out a car, he points out all the flaws to this car, he badmouths this car in front of the car salesman. Finally, he gets a lowball price. Then he drives the new car off the lot over to his friend's house, and he brags about what a great deal he got on this supercar. That's the guy. He says to the buyer cries out, it's good for nothing, but then when he's gone, then he boasts. It's just something disingenuous and unfair about that kind of a guy. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take the garment of one who is surety for a stranger and hold it as a pledge when it is for a seductress. Again, don't be naive. If you loan somebody some money, make sure you get some collateral. Get his garment, man, until he pays you back. Bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. God sees to it that the dishonest man doesn't enjoy his gain. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. In other words, before a nation or a business or before a person goes to war, they need to first seek some wise counsel. You know, they need to think it through. If there's some other way other than a fight, then opt for that other way, because war of any kind becomes costly and it becomes bloody. Verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Always remember, if a friend will talk to you about another person, be sure that they'll talk to another person about you. Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. That's not good. I'm not sure what that means, but that's not good. So honor your father and your mother. An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end. You know, that means give a kid too much too soon. In a big trust fund, large inheritance, give them that kind of an inheritance, and it's something they don't have to work for. You know, inheritance gained hastily. At the beginning, it's good, but not at the end. He or she will squander away what you've given them if they don't first learn the value of hard work.
You've been listening to Sandy Adams Radio with our pastor and teacher, Sandy Adams. Pastor Sandy comes to us from Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain, located in Atlanta, Georgia. In today's message, Pastor Sandy continued through the book of Proverbs. If you've been involved in anything for a period of time, then you've experienced what the book of Proverbs is all about. You may even be part of this story. The idea that we can learn from those who've gone before us is the main theme of this book. Being slow to speak and learning to observe others is identified as a great strength to be fostered. The modern day saying, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, is an appropriate application of this text. Spend time reading through Proverbs and think about the many mentors you have in your life who you can learn from. Then think about how your actions now will become lessons to those who will follow. To hear more, visit our website, sandyadams.org. Again, that's sandyadams.org. Each time you listen here, Pastor Sandy brings sound biblical teaching as he goes through the Bible book by book, verse by verse. You'll hear the truth and discover more about our Lord and Savior as you do. That's the power of community in Christ. We're so glad you decided to spend your time with us today. Be sure to come back again for more here on Sandy Adams Radio.